And we're back. Happy Friday. Hey there, America. I'm Leslie Marshall, and this is the only true democracy in talk radio of, for, and by you, the people. We're live nationwide, streaming live at LeslieMarshallShow.com. Very good friend of mine, personally and professionally, very intelligent attorney, talk show host, actually sits in for me on my show. I let him take care of my baby and has his own show. He's host of the Washington, D.C. radio talk show, The Inside Scoop, serving up all the news the government does not want you to know. An ex-congressional attorney serving the Democrats on the Judiciary and Homeland Security Committees. Not only able to understand and explain how Washington really works, he fought in some of the great battles of the early Bush administration. My buddy and yours. Those of you who listen to me every night, you know he sits in for me, and he's a regular guest on the program, too, Mark Levine. Hello, darling. How are you?
Hello, Leslie.
You know, after breaking bread together, a whole different thing, isn't it?
It is. It was great. We finally met. It's almost embarrassing to admit that we hadn't met for so long.
No, I know. I know. I have a lot of people like that only know me, you know, through the airwaves, and it's wild when you get to sit down. Well, this is an issue near and dear to my and many Americans' hearts. Certainly people who just think, hello, this is, you know, beyond time, A, B, military members, C, gay people, 4, liberals, and you're 3 out of 4 of those, right?
That's true. And also, I worked for Congressman Barney Frank, of course, openly gay congressman, and I talked with dozens of service members because many of them were afraid to call their members of Congress because all they had to do was turn them in and they would be kicked out of the military. You know, people are talking about this horrible law in Arizona. Well, these are not just legal American citizens, but ones who are working hard to serve their country. And one word from the wrong person and they were literally thrown out on their ear. 15 years pension gone. Sometimes they had to pay back their schooling and everything just because one person didn't like them and outed them. So they
and it's interesting that you say that because it can become a witch hunt if, you know, a bunch of, you know, guys get together and go, hey, let's get rid of the fag kind of thing. The House of Representatives voted today to repeal the 17-year-old Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy that permits gays to serve in the military only if they keep their sexual orientation a secret. Mark, you being a gay man, being inside the Beltway, having worked with Congressman Barney Frank, can you please tell me, the military members you spoke to, because to me, it seems completely archaic that we're even having this discussion in 2010. I've talked about this on the program a few nights ago. My attitude is, and I'm sure you're with me, Mark, you know, you happen to be gay, but whether you're gay or not, if somebody wants to put on a uniform and go take a bullet for my freedom, I don't care who they're sleeping with.
These are some of the most brave and honorable people I've ever met. Some of them, Alistair Gamble, for example, was literally the top Arabic translator working for the military, and he was kicked out at a time when we needed Arabic translators around September 11th. The most horrific stories that I heard were from the women that were raped. Yes, lesbian and, by the way, straight women, too, were often raped and continue to be by their commanding officers. And because they know that if they complain about the sexual assault, the commanding officer will out them as lesbian, whether they are or not, and they'll be kicked out of the military. That's something that isn't talked about very much.
Why is there... you spoke to these military members, and I say this because I've had people that call that say, they don't ask and they don't tell the military. But I have so many military members, even I can't mention Congress and former congressional members that have served in the military that said, everybody knows who's gay and everybody knows who isn't. Please, you're with those people 24/7. Mark, we'll talk about that when we return. We're talking in this hour about Congress advancing the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. House of Representatives voted today to repeal the 17-year-old Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy. What happened? We'll find out about it with our guest and my good friend, Mark Levine, host of the D.C. radio talk show, The Inside Scoop. We'd love for you to join us as well. 888-6-LESLIE. And we're back. Leslie Marshall here. My buddy Mark Levine, host of the Washington, D.C. radio talk show, The Inside Scoop, serving up all the news the government does not want you to know, joins us. He also sits in for me here on the Leslie Marshall Show, and he will when I'm out of town middle of next week for a week and a half on vacation. Mark, thanks for holding, and welcome back. Appreciate you being with me and such a good friend and really do such a great job when you sit in for me. I can't thank you enough.
Thank you. Today,
the votes in the House, well, explain what happened, because this was a quick secession. I mean, when you have the Senate Armed Services Committee and the full House, the measures that were approved to repeal the 1993 law, these votes are clearly a victory for President Barack Obama. And as Joe Salami said, president of Human Rights Campaign, lawmakers today stood on the right side of history. Talk to us about the history that was made today.
Well, yeah, you have to understand, though, this was a very complex legislative process. And to give the inside scoop on it, I mean, Don't Ask, Don't Tell isn't really repealed yet.
Mm-hmm.
The way it works,
the ban actually still has a long way to go, right? I mean,
well,
even though you
probably got about another year, to be fair.
And the vote today was what, 234 to 194?
Yes. And the vote was to basically remove the ban in the law, in the legislation, the congressional ban. But it doesn't lift the ban. What it says is that Congress will no longer make the decision. The president and the military will make the decision. So it basically took Congress out of the process. It didn't so much repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell, as it said, we're not going to make this decision. The military will make this decision. Basically, Secretary Gates had said a few months ago, actually maybe more, maybe last year, that they were going to have a review of the policy and they were going to come up with something on December 1st. And, of course, Secretary Gates was George Bush's defense secretary before he was President Obama's. And most people thought that he chose December 1st for a reason. It happens to be, you know, the first day of the first month after the 2010 elections. And virtually everyone believes the Democrats will lose seats in 2010. Frankly, as much as I'm a Democrat, I think we will lose seats. I don't think we'll lose the House and Senate, but I do think we'll lose seats. And so everyone knew it would be a more difficult Congress in 2011. And the thought was, well, if we push things off until December 1st, 2010, then by the time we get to 2011, Congress won't vote to repeal it, and we can keep this policy for decades. I really think that was what Secretary Gates thought. But he was outmaneuvered by some very clever legislation by Senator Carl Levin of Michigan, Patrick Murphy in the House. And I got to say, the real hero behind the scenes was Nancy Pelosi. She gets a lot of flack from a lot of people. Nancy Pelosi did some heavy lifting to make sure that this compromise goes forward. So what the compromise says is Congress is repealing the legislation now, and then the policy isn't lifted, but when after this study is done in December, as soon as President Obama and Secretary Gates and the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff says that it's lifted, it'll be lifted.
And Mark, explain to the people listening, including me, why it has to be done that way and why make it so difficult. I know change is difficult, period, and people are uncomfortable with it, especially with this for some reason. But why does it have to be done this way? And did it have to be done this way?
They needed the votes, simply put. There's 16 Democrats and 12 Republicans on the Senate Armed Services Committee. Jim Webb, my senator of Virginia, and I worked very hard to change his mind, and I failed, unfortunately, was voting against it. So that meant that they needed every Democrat on board, and they had to convince people like conservative Senator Ben Nelson of Nebraska. They had to convince Robert Byrd, who was very conservative, and this is a guy who helped filibuster the Civil Rights Act back in 64. He's changed a bit. And in order to convince Nelson and Byrd and also Republican Susan Collins to come on board, they had to make this compromise. Otherwise, they simply wouldn't have had the votes.
Okay, so now Nancy Pelosi, and you're right, she said, quote, we honor the values of our nation and we close the door on a fundamental unfairness. So even though there's a long way to go and you've explained all of it, does the president have the power alone to say, okay, no more ban? Or does this have to be done in conjunction with top military brass in the Pentagon?
Well, that's actually an interesting question, Leslie. First of all, we have to wait till December 1st, and then Robert Byrd added 60 more days to that, just because he's Robert Byrd and they need his vote. So we get to February 1st. And what's interesting is it requires the certification of the president and the defense secretary and the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Now, the president is commander-in-chief. He appoints the defense secretary. He appoints the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. He can fire them. So if they say no, according to the legislation, it can't be repealed, But the president could say, if you say no, you're fired. So at the end of the day, I don't think anyone doubts that it will be lifted and that President Obama will get it. I just think it's going to be, probably, let's say, May or June 2011 before it's finally irrevocably gone.
When we look at this, I mean, how much money do you think, in a ballpark, it cost us to keep dragging our feet? And I'm actually wondering, Mark, do you have any idea how much does it cost us every time we throw somebody out because they happen to mention their boyfriend?
The policy has cost the United States hundreds of millions of dollars. Some 14,000 well-trained men and women who've worked very hard, who've been trained by the military, some of our best and our brightest, have been thrown out for this reason. It's rumored, and of course it's hard to know exactly what the figures are because people are scared, but that there's another 75,000 in. So about one-fifth of all gay soldiers were caught in a witch hunt. And again, this could just be, you know, we all work in workplaces, and some people like you and some people don't like you. It could be someone who doesn't like you. It could be someone who wants your job. It could be someone who just, you know, got up on a bad day. They finger you, and it's McCarthyism all over again. You're out. It's amazing.
This all stems from, just like African Americans at one time, you know, couldn't serve, women. This all stems from complete fear. Fear that a gay man are just jumping all straight men's, you know, bones and buttocks in the shower and in the barracks. Yeah. But what I don't understand is for those who are extreme right wing Bible thumpers and they're concerned about the morality, nobody seems to, and you pointed out earlier, Mark, nobody seems to be concerned about the sexual harassment, the rape, the masturbating to, you know, pornography, the online cheating from their spouses or the physical cheating from their spouses while overseas. Let's not forget the rape of civilians in other countries. Let's not forget how many American guys are, you know, for $5 getting a blowjob in Thailand when they're on leave. So I just, no pun intended, blows my mind that we continue to have this conversation. Mark, you're a gay guy, okay? And you are not a swishy fuchsia wearing,
most people don't know I'm gay.
I have gaydar, and I got to say, I have gaydar, and if I didn't know you were gay, I wouldn't be 100% positive. So here's my thing, being that I'm sure you're around people that don't know you're gay, and you may have heard things from your perspective as a gay man who may have heard things because you're not, quote, so overtly, obviously, queenie, swishy, effeminate. What is the fear, Mark? What is the fear? Is the fear that you're going to touch their penis? What is the fear?
You know, I think that a lot of people have insecurities when it comes to sex. And people are afraid of things that really have no basis. In fact, I once had a straight guy tell me of his fears of being approached by a gay man who didn't know I was gay, by the way, and, which was funny in itself. And I said, well, how would you feel if an extremely ugly woman that you were extremely unattracted to came and hit on you? He said, I'd feel uncomfortable. I said, exactly. So what's the difference? And he couldn't give me a difference.
And I would imagine, Mark, I said this to a woman who said, you know, called in, she had, you know, she was a lesbian, used to be in the military. Where does this idea come from that gay men and lesbian women are just trying to jump every heterosexual's bones? Because I mean, for example, okay,
if I'm
married now, but when I was single, if I met you at a club, okay, because you know, I being short, I can date anybody, and you're not real tall, right? If I went up to you and asked you to dance, and I was at one of these clubs like I used to go to, you know, back in the day when it was gay and straight, and we were also chic and cool in our way and hip, and I went up to you and asked you to dance, and you said, oh, no, thanks, I'm here with my boyfriend. Hello, I know you're gay. I'm not going to try and flip you.
Well, there are a few women that would, but they're the exception, I think. And listen, I'm not saying that no gay man has ever made a pass at a straight man, but I'm also, look, when someone makes a pass at you, if you're not interested, you say you're not interested, and that's it. If they continue, that's sexual harassment. I don't care whether they're male, female, straight, gay, old, young, or whatever. An unwanted pass is an unwanted pass. You say, I'm not interested, and you move on.
The other thing, I know I'm going to sound so catty in saying this, but it seems to me the majority of guys who aren't confident in their sexuality aren't like real hot looking guys that anybody would want to hit
true.
On.
That's true. Most of them are out of shape.
You know what I'm saying? They're the fat guy that absolutely. They're the fat guy. They're the fat guy that takes their shirt off at the games or the beach when you want to go, dude. Ooh. You know, not only do gay men not want you, straight women don't want you. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with Mark Levine, my buddy. And don't go away. We'll be back with him and with you. Pick up the phone and join us. 888-6-LESLIE, 888-653-7543. Talking about Congress moving to end the ban on gays in the military, you want to join us? 888-6-LESLIE, 888-653-7543. Pick up the phone and join us. Mark Levine, host of the Washington, D.C. radio talk show, The Inside Scoop, serving up all the news the government does not want you to know, joins us. A good friend, he also sits in for me, and we are talking about what happened today. Thank you for holding, Mark. Welcome back. Nancy Pelosi also said, quote, "Let us honor their service by recommitting to the values they fight for on the battlefield." Now, I don't have the numbers, but somebody tweeted me that the vast majority of discharges due to DADT are because of inappropriate sexual behavior in advances.
That's not true.
That's not true. Okay.
That's not true at all. The vast majority of them is because somebody works with someone that doesn't like them or maybe wants their job or, you know, sees them in the way of their path to advancement, and they begin an anonymous tip. And they give an anonymous tip to the commanding officer, and they say, "I think that, you know, Joe Smith is gay." And then they open an investigation, and then they contact all of Joe Smith's friends. Sometimes they even follow them. Sometimes, in fact, often they read their emails. That's one of the best ways to find out. They go and they secretly read your emails, and they find out that, oh, you know, you're gay, and then they kick you out of the military. It is not based on sexual advances. Here's the deal. Sexual advances are illegal under the Uniform Code of Military Justice, whether or not made by male, female, straight, or gay. Fraternization within the military is against the Uniform Code of Military Justice, and you can be kicked out for that, whether you're gay or straight. So it's all about rumors. It's not at all about sexual harassment.
Interesting. Very interesting. You want to join us? 888-6-LESLIE, 888-653-7543 is the number. You know, there was a number, speaking of number, Patrick Murphy, a Democrat from Pennsylvania, sponsored the amendment, said, quote, "With our military fighting two wars, why on earth would we tell 13,500 able-bodied Americans that their service is not needed?" I had to laugh, Mark. Well, if you don't ask and you don't tell, how do you know we have 13,500?
Well, no, those are the ones that have already been removed.
They're just the ones that have been removed. Do you have an estimated number? Do we have a ballpark number or no?
Yeah, according to the Service Members Legal Defense Fund, there are approximately 66,000 secretly gay and lesbian troops.
66,000.
Right. Out of 350,000, which actually means gay people are overrepresented in the troops, probably because they're less likely to be married and more likely to, you know, with serving.
Oh, come on, Mark. You know, it's just they want to see men naked in showers and risk getting their brains blown out by Al-Qaeda in the process. Please.
Here's another secret, Leslie, that is very rarely talked about. I happen to know it only because of my job working for Barney Frank. There are women are much more overly represented than men. In other words, gay men are represented in the military about the same as a percentage of the population, but lesbians are overrepresented. All the stereotypes, they always show the men, but what we're really talking about is a large fighting force of extremely strong, brave, and courageous lesbian women who are doing a terrific job in the military.
Oh,
they don't show the women very much.
Isn't that what it's about? I mean, what when everybody, you know, talks about, even Gates, you know, well, you know, this is something we need to do. We need to take it slow. It needs to be a transition. We've talked about the fear, the craziness, the fact this is 2010. Don't we have more essential items on our agenda? Let's get this done. Let's move it behind us. Let's go forward and not keep spending so much money, not only with the people being removed in the military, but, you know, obviously the DADT, but obviously not spending so much money and time for our politicians to focus on this. Let's move
on. It's interesting, Leslie. It's actually very late. When Harry Truman desegregated the military in 1948, 70 to 80% of Americans did not think that blacks and whites should serve together in the military. Today, in 2010, 70 to 80% of Americans do think that there should be no distinction between gays and straights in the military. So here's a case where Congress is way behind the polls. The vast majority of men and women serving the military are young people. Young people don't have any problem with people being gay. It's interesting. 70% of Republicans supported ending the ban, and 58% of evangelical Protestant Christians supported ending the ban. And I think, can't think of a more conservative group than that one.
Well, come on. So, when you see that recruitment numbers are way down, nobody wants to bring back the draft. And, hey, you know, sorry, but I'm sure there are many people out there who would rather have somebody else's gay kid go to war than their straight kid go to war. And I'm not saying because they want gays on the front line. It's just sort of like, hey, you want to go when you're gay? Have a good time. I don't want to sign up.
You know, under George Bush, they actually lowered military standards because they kicked out so many gay people, they needed other people. So they started allowing violent felons in the military.
Yep,
they started
criminal
allowing
change,
people
yep.
without high school degrees in the military. They started allowing older people in the military.
And then John Kerry, and John, you know what, Mark, standards. And John Kerry got a really bad rap when he inferred or, you know, directly, I guess you could say, spoke of the dumbing down of the military, and he was
right.
accurate. He was accurate.
Right. It's true. You don't know. You no longer need a high school degree, which is what you used to need to get in the military, because there's a shortage. And here we're kicking out, for example, 55 of the best Arabic linguists when we know we need them to fight in Afghanistan and Iraq.
I have somebody on Twitter telling you to get a new Constitution book. The one that you whip out on Fox has visible skid marks on it.
You know, my dad tells me that.
I should.
My mom says, no, use the one you use because it shows that you've read it a lot. And
yeah.
It does. And I have read through it a lot. But thank you for that. And thanks for watching me to the Twitterer.
And I'll tell him that Mark also wants to know if you're single.
I'm sorry. I don't know who's
No, asking. I'm saying it. You should say that because this guy is, got one of his comments make him look like he's a bit of a homophobe. I think
single.
He'll love
it. I have a boyfriend. I'm sorry to whoever tweet. But thanks for asking, I guess. I don't know.
What are those, being that you're gay, man, what are those in the gay community saying there inside the Beltway today?
I think people are mostly excited. There are a few people that are angry that at this late stage it's going to take another year. I know Lieutenant Choi, for example, is having a hunger strike. He's someone who feels very strongly about it. But while I think there are, I mean, I'm disappointed it's not done now, but I do think that most of us realize that we're 99% there. We do have to wait one more year. We've waited this long. I'm just nervous because I know so many courageous people that are fighting for their country. And frankly, people who would never, you'd never suspect were gay in any way, shape, or form. And I'm nervous for them because I know that one word said to them, I mean, I've met people who they have to hide, they have to change their name, they have to meet furtively. And these are brave people serving their country. They shouldn't have to hide. They did nothing wrong. It's amazing. And I can't wait to get rid of the only law in America that requires you to lie. Your country should never require you to lie.
Let's take Ross in Columbus, Georgia, quickie here. Hi, Ross. Good evening. Thanks for joining us, sweetie. What's on your mind tonight?
Hi, Leslie. Just a real quick one. As a Vietnam vet, I can tell you this right off the top. It doesn't matter to you when you're out there, people are shooting at you from the other side, who is defending you and who is fighting with you. Gays are just as patriotic, just as country-loving as our straights. I've always found this to be a reprehensible law, and now that it's considering being revoked, I think that's just outstanding.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. You know, I gotta say, whether it's like the biggest, like, you know, burly Marine, right, or the more effeminate guy in the, you know, whatever branch of service, they all seem to say, we don't care.
We really don't care.
You know, what they care about is an able-bodied man or woman who's got their back. Exactly. Be a good shot. Be a good shot. Right. Exactly. You know what? I'm going to see if we're going to keep Mark or not. Let's see. We're going to take a break. We'll be back. I'm Leslie Marshall. Don't go away.
The Leslie Marshall Show, the only true democracy in talk radio, of, for, and by you, the people. Live nationwide and streaming live at LeslieMarshallShow.com. Call in with your thoughts at 888-6-LESLIE.
You're free. Hey there, America. I'm Leslie Marshall, and this is the only true democracy in talk radio of, for, and by you, the people. We are live nationwide, and we're streaming live at LeslieMarshallShow.com. Check it out. If you miss a little, you miss a lot. And by the way, we broadcast live Monday through Friday, 4 to 7 p.m. Pacific, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern. So if you're not hearing the show during those hours, you're hearing us on tape. That's totally cool. But we want to extend the invitation for you to join us live by calling 888-6-LESLIE, 888-653-7543 during those hours. In this hour, my buddy Mark Levine is in the house. He sits in for me. He's going to join us, and we've got a lot to talk about. Yesterday, the president had a press conference regarding the oil spill in the Gulf. And regardless of left or right, whether you like the guy or not, whether you're married, whether you have kids, whether you have grandkids, there was a moment that everyone, I think, except maybe for one guy, agreed was touching. There was a moment that everyone, I think, felt put a true human spin on the spill, on the president, and took this issue outside of the political arena, because this is not a political issue. The BP oil spill is an issue of negligence, of greed by corporatists and corporations, and by lack of prevention, and by lack of a former administration's hardline regulations. Being in bed with such corporatists in the oil fields. Imagine that from a Bush and Cheney team. But this is not about politics right now. This is about our environment. This is about jobs. This is about wildlife, plant life, human life. And nothing, in my opinion, put a more human face on this horrific tragedy in the Gulf than a little girl who the president told us about yesterday.
Sure that everybody in the Gulf understands. This is what I wake up to in the morning, and this is what I go to bed at night thinking about. The spill. And it's not just me, by the way. And when I woke up this morning, and I'm shaving, and Malia knocks on my bathroom door, and she peeks in her head, and she says, did you plug the hole yet, Daddy? Because I think everybody understands that when we are fouling the earth like this, it has concrete implications not just for this generation, but for future generations.
Absolutely. The President Barack Obama's daughter, Malia, asked her daddy, Daddy, did you plug up the hole yet? This concerns her. This little girl, she's hearing about this in school, and her friends are going, hey, your dad better plug that hole up. Totally put a human face on it. Now I want to share with you something. We don't do it top of hour two, every hour two, but when it's necessary, we do. And tonight, it's necessary. Right now, I want to take the time to check in with a crazy on the right who thinks he's right, he's not, he's wrong, he's all washed up, he doesn't know what he's talking about. And tonight, like so many others, Listen to this one. Mr. Rush Limbaugh, a right-wing wacko of Z Day.
You jerk, you jerk, you are such a jerk.
You know, this yesterday, everybody, the drive-bys are just melting over the humanity and the warmth and the personality. Obama had the courage to make himself human in the midst of this disaster by referencing the fact his little girl came into the bathroom while he was shaving. Remember, he said this closed out the presser.
When I woke up this morning, and I'm shaving, and Malia knocks on my bathroom door, and she peeks in her head, and she says, did you plug the hole yet, Daddy? Because I think everybody understands that when we are fouling the earth like this, it has concrete implications, not just for this generation, but for future generations. I grew up in Hawaii, where the ocean is sacred.
I guess it's not sacred anywhere else, but it is in Hawaii. Now, you know, I don't have a daughter, but if I did, and I'm in the bathroom shaving, and a door opens, a little girl comes in and says, Daddy, Daddy, did you plug the hole yet? I'd look at her and say, honey, one of two things. That really is none of your business. That's a very personal, private question. The second thing I would say is, honey, I can't plug the hole in the Gulf. I don't have by myself the means to do it. But here's Obama telling the story, and it's not accidental that he tells the story with his daughter saying, Daddy, did you plug the hole in the Gulf yet? So, again, we know that the Democrats will throw their brothers overboard. They will also use their children in ways to humanize them. What?
Everything that guy just says is bull.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone is now dumber for having listened to it.
This comes Rush Limbaugh talking about Barack Obama using his daughter Malia? Please. Could we all, can we all take a trip down memory lane? I'd like you to take you to the year 1992, when a young, enthusiastic guy, the true American dream named William Jefferson Clinton, was running for president. And he and his wife had a little girl named Chelsea. You remember that? Chelsea, who's now getting married, right? And I remember in 1992, I was working that year. I worked in two different cities. I worked in Buffalo, New York on WGR News Radio 55. I was up against Rush Limbaugh, where I beat him in the ratings, by the way, and also at KPRC in Houston, Texas, where I also beat him in the ratings, I must say. And I remember constantly playing cuts of Rush dissing Chelsea Clinton. And the reason I remember that so vividly is because I truly believe, as a human being, not just as a liberal, democratic, feminist female, but I truly believe that kids are off limits. They're not running for office. Their mom, dad, or both are. And this is Democrat or Republican. I don't feel that the Bush girls should have been picked on. Amy Carter, Kennedy's kids, Nixon's kids, Ford's kids. You know what I mean? No. And especially when kids are kids. Chelsea was a little girl at the time, young girl at the time. So for Rush Limbaugh to be a hypocrite, that's not surprising. But for Rush to open his big fat mouth and to say, hey, the president's using this little girl. By the way, Rush doesn't have children. There must be a reason for that. He doesn't have children. So for him to say what he would do, I say now that I have two kids. I have a two-year-old. My daughter's two. My son's soon to be three. I always say that the best parents are those who never have children, because they always think they know what they would say and what they would do. And Russia's an example. What did you hear what he would say? Any of you as a mother or father, please, even if you're a Republican and a Rush fan, you know you're rolling your eyes on that one. No mother or father, if their kid came in and said, "Did you plug the hole yet?" whatever the problem is, would turn and say to the kid, "That's none of your business." Please. Listen to him. It's like, Rush, if you're a dad, you turn the microphone off. You're not a bloody talk show host for 5 seconds. Get your head out of your butt. It's big enough. And your ego, man, if you could get it through the door. But this just kills me. This is a man who trashed the Clinton's daughter, Chelsea, repeatedly, almost on a daily basis, when Bill Clinton ran for office. And this is a man who trashed a young woman, just barely a woman at 21 years of age, named Monica Lewinsky, who was somebody else's daughter. So for this guy to say that Barack Obama used his daughter Malia, was putting her out there in sensationalistic manner, like the homeless people who put their kids or their pets out on the street with the cup trying to tug on your heartstrings. I'm sorry. In my opinion, almost anybody has the right to say that, but that windbag, because he has constantly used kids to make his point, and not in a complimentary or flattering manner. We'll take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk with my buddy Mark Levine, and we're also going to talk with you. If you're holding hang tight, you want to join us, 888-6-LESLIE. 888-653-7543 is the number. Whether you like Barack Obama or not, if you saw the press conference, and if not, you just heard the clip from us, and then you heard it again from Rush. Pick up the phone and join me and tell me, was it touching for the president to say, well, my daughter came in and said, "Daddy, did you plug the hole up yet?" Was it touching to you? Did it take this away from politics and put a human face on it? Was it a proper example for him to use when he said it reminded him, this isn't just about now, this is about years to come, his daughter and her generation? I think he was speaking as a true human being and a dad. And that comes from me, Leslie Marshall, a talk host and a mom. And by the way, when my kids ask questions, I would never say none of your business. Rush, please don't procreate. Not only do we not need another one of you on the planet, telling your kid it's none of your business, doesn't sound like you'd be winning Daddy of the Year. I'm Leslie Marshall. We'll be back right after this. 888-6-LESLIE. 888-653-7543. That's the number. Pick up the phone and join us. We're streaming live at LeslieMarshallShow.com. And we're back. Welcome back. We are the only true democracy in talk radio of, for, and by you, the people, live nationwide and streaming live at LeslieMarshallShow.com. A good buddy of mine, Mark Levine, joining me in this hour on this Friday night. Mark's host of the Washington, D.C. radio talk show, The Inside Scoop, serving up all the news the government does not want you to know. He's an ex-congressional attorney. We're good buddies. He also is someone who fills in for me quite often here on the program, and I truly appreciate him joining me on this Friday night, keeping me from being desperate and dateless. Hey, Mark, thanks for joining us again in this hour. Mark, wanted your 2 cents on this before we get to our great callers.
Well, one of the things I found interesting was actually that Rush Limbaugh was tame compared to Glenn Beck on this. Glenn Beck did a, maybe Mark can pull it up, I don't know if it's worth it, but it's really ugly. But when Limbaugh went on for about 10 seconds imitating Malia, Beck did this whole very, very long and awful, where he plays the little girl, and it's just disgusting.
Kids should be off limits.
Absolutely.
Period.
Politicians. It's true that politicians bring out their families all the time, and that's true of Republicans and Democrats and John Kennedy and everybody else. It's true that they bring in the cute families. I mean, Chief Justice Roberts, I remember, brought out his little kids, and that I think is okay. When you bring them out and they stand there, what Obama was doing, I think, was bringing home the fact that everybody is concerned about the Gulf. I certainly am. Everyone I know is. And to let people in the Gulf know they're not alone. All of us are wondering when that hole will be plugged. And if the president's doing everything he can, it's a perfectly natural, normal question. And I think that did bring it home. And it had nothing to do with Malia. Please leave her alone. If you want to criticize him for the oil spill, go right ahead. But leave Malia alone.
I agree. Let's take some calls. 888-6-LESLIE, 888-653-7543 is the number. We started out with Ken in Cleveland, Ohio. Hi, Ken. How you doing? Good evening.
I'm doing pretty good. Leslie, Mark, pleasure to speak with you tonight.
You too.
And, you know, I want to pick up a little bit on what Mark was saying about Glenn Beck going off, you know, and doing the imitation of Malia. He went way overboard. It was absolutely repulsive what he did on his show today.
Like I said, I mean, kids should be off limits. I don't care who's doing it, left or right, you know, kids should be off limits.
You know, unfortunately, this is not unique to the right either because, I mean, even John McCain was making jokes about Chelsea Clinton back in the day. I don't know if anybody remembers, but he told a really raunchy joke about Chelsea, and I don't remember the actual joke, but it was just really raunchy. And, it, you know, this kind of tactic is just so inherent in the right. And, you know, even Matt Drudge had a thing on his website the other day, on Twitter, I found it, from Roger Ebert actually tweeted this, but it was, Daddy, why didn't you plug the hole yet? And it showed it just absolutely reprehensible what they showed, but it was a picture of Obama's finger, not his face, not the rest of his body, just him pointing his finger. And if you look at what Rush said, it's almost like he was trying to sexualize the question by saying, that's none of your business. Mm. So they're really trying to turn this into some kind of just grotesque, you know, pornographic, theatric kind of thing. And, you know, it's, you know, I'm sorry for anybody who hangs on to the right in these guys for, you know, just, it, like I said, just completely reprehensible behavior.
I'm with you on that. Totally with you on that. Anything else there, Ken?
Well, yeah, you know, I wanted to pick up a little bit too about any supporter of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. I just want to say, hey, it's the 21st century. You should be embarrassed if you're holding on to the idea that we should exclude people from the military simply because, you know, your moral value is something you feel you need to impose on the rest of us.
Ken, I think it's just insecure.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I don't know if I've noticed that, frankly, that straight men who are secure in their masculinity have no problem.
Absolutely.
It's only
Absolutely.
The men that are insecure in their masculinity that seem to be concerned. That's been my experience, honestly.
Let's take a break. Are you done, Ken? Do you have anything else? We'll check with him. If he has more, we'll let him finish up. If not, Ken, have an awesome weekend. Happy Memorial Day. Mark Levine, my buddy, will stick with us, and I hope you will as well. And if you're holding, hang on. If you're not, where are you? It's Friday night. I need a date. 888-6-LESLIE is the number. We'll be right back. We're back. Leslie Marshall here. Welcome or welcome back. We are the only true democracy in talk radio. Coming at you live throughout the great country we live in, US of A, and streaming live through the World Wide Web at LeslieMarshallShow.com. You can also follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/LeslieMarshall, or become my friend on Facebook and FB me. Go to Facebook.com. Check out Leslie Marshall. Invite me to be your friend. We read your emails also through the contact page on the website, LeslieMarshallShow.com. This is a talk show. We'd love for you to talk with us, but I know sometimes you got to tweet, FB, or email. 888-6-LESLIE is the number. 888-653-7543. Rush Limbaugh put the president down, and a lot of other people put Malia, the president's daughter, down. I say kids are off limits, and I think Rush is quite the hypocrite to be saying anything about this president talking about this little girl. I think Malia helped us, and the president, in telling us that story about his daughter coming to him while shaving at the White House, put a more human face, a nonpartisan, nonpolitical face on the issue of the oil spill and what we have to do to clean it up and how even his own daughter is reminding him how important it is. 888-6-LESLIE, 888-653-7543. Mark Levine, my buddy, sits in for me, also hosts his own program out of Washington, D.C., The Inside Scoop. Mark, thanks for holding. Welcome back. Anything you want to say before we get to some more calls here?
No, let's get to the calls.
Okay, let's do it. Let's get to the calls, and let's go to Coco in Beverly Hills, California. Hi, Coco. Good evening.
Hi, good evening. Great talking to you and Mark.
Oh,
hi,
good. Coco. You too, Coco.
Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, I'm a libertarian, and I definitely agree. Kids are definitely off limits, and I did hear about what Mark said about the Glenn Beck, and I mean, I think it's even more hypocritical of Glenn, considering he has a child that has, I think it's Down syndrome, or I don't know what he or she has. But if anyone attacked his kid, I'm sure you wouldn't stop hearing about it for like months.
Yeah,
and I think it doesn't matter.
Do you guys remember Ben on Facebook reminded me that Amy Carter asked her father about nuclear proliferation.
I don't remember that.
Right, and but, same thing. I mean, Amy Carter. That is a girl who they were nasty about her. They picked on her physical appearance. I don't know what it is about Democratic candidates' kids, but man. Really, I think Amy and Chelsea have had it the worst. They really have, in my opinion. But Coco, you're with me, right? Kids should
be absolutely.
Yeah.
No, it's really disgusting. I mean, and we're talking about how the right's saying, you know, that they're not the hypocritical ones, but it just pretty much shows today they are.
Okay. Thank you, Coco. Thanks. Anything else?
No, that's it.
Okay. Well, I'm in LA, Coco. Good to have a girlfriend in the hood. Thank you for the call.
Thank you.
Okay. Man, she's on the
Now, Leslie, there were liberals who made fun of the Bush daughters and how drunk and so forth. But I do think there's a distinction between a minor child.
We didn't. Marky Mark, Chris, right, on the air at least. We didn't, right? Right? We didn't make fun of Bush's daughters that I can recall.
No, and there would have been plenty of opportunities, trust me.
Yeah, because kids are off limits. They're not running or elected to office. Their parents are. Yeah. And, you know, Joe on Facebook says because she's the president's daughter, she's not allowed to have questions and he's not allowed to repeat them. The leader of the free world is not entitled to free speech. I like that. Let's continue with the calls and we go to Tim in Hopkins, Minnesota. Hi, Tim. Good evening. How are you?
Great. How are you?
Good. What do you say on this?
Well, I think with Rush, you know, if prescription pills could talk, you'd really be looking at Rush Limbaugh, because whenever he's speaking, it's I think he's speaking through his drugs that he's on.
You know, I wish that were the case. I wish he only said those awful things when he was high. Now, maybe he's high constantly, but I don't think it's the drugs talking. I actually think he's a hateful human being. I don't know what else to say.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you. So, Tim, you know, unfortunately, no, he is. I mean, you know, this guy's been, you know, picking on kids for years. What bothers me is the hypocrisy. Whose mouth it came out of, you know? Seriously. This is a guy that's picked on kids for years, and now he's pointing the finger at the president, saying the president's, you know, being disingenuous and, you know, putting his kid out there and, you know, sensationalizing him. And by the way, look at his own bloody party, for which some people think he is the head of the Republican Party. Sarah Palin paraded her kids, especially her Down syndrome child, for the world to see. And those kids, in my opinion, are also off limits. And you know, she put them out there. But it's very common for politicians to show, I'm a mother, I'm a father, I have a family. Americans like to see that. It makes us happier to vote for them. And so kids have been used on both sides of the aisle. But I really just don't feel, Tim, do you? Mark, do you? I don't feel the president was using Malia. I know, hey, guys, I'm a talk host. I'm not president of the United States or politician by any means, but I will constantly reference a friend, a kid, or something, somebody who said something to me to share a different perspective on an issue or a point. And I think it was beautiful because of the innocence of the comment.
See, I don't think it was about Malia at all.
No.
I think his point is that this is an issue that everybody is concerned about, that even the youngest among us are concerned about it, because let's face it, the damage that's going on in the Gulf, it may last for centuries. It may last till Malia has great-grandchildren. It is that awful down there. And I think this helps to convey that this is not a week, a month, a year. It's not even a 10-year process. This is going to take centuries. And somehow reminding us that the younger concerned, I think, reminds us how awful, awful this is the worst environmental catastrophe in American history. And no one should try to play it down.
All right. Anything else, Tim?
Nope, that's pretty much it.
Okay, thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go to Joe in St. John. Where are, New Brunswick? Is that where you are, Joe?
Yeah, New Brunswick, Canada.
Yes, I know where New Brunswick is. Hi, Joe. Good evening. How are you?
I'm great, thank you. Thank you for inviting me to your show.
Oh, anytime.
Yes, I thank you again for reading my statement, actually, on the air. It was a bit of a thrill. And I think that it is kind of unusual, like I said, that the president's unable to voice a particular opinion or his daughter's unable to have a particular opinion just because they are the presidential family. I think that everybody should be able to say whatever it is they want to say, especially in the U.S., where they have the freedom of rights and freedom of expression and all those sorts of things. And it's just silly that he's being attacked for that and that she's being attacked for that.
Okay, yeah. You know, it's weird because I saw Nancy and some other people on Facebook, saying to me, you know, the Obamas use the children to drive points home and parade their children around all the time. You know, I think there's definitely, especially in politics, especially with Obama, a hell of a lot of perception versus reality going on here.
He is a family man, you know, his family, his whole family is going to be in the spotlight, whether he wants them to be or not, whether they want to be or not, because that's just the way that they happen to be in the public eye. So they're kind of damned if they do and damned if they don't.
All right.
I actually don't think he parades them all that much. You know, I wasn't around in the Kennedy era, but I certainly heard stories about my mom about John and Caroline.
Whether you were around in Kennedy era or not, how many, raise hands, how many remember the picture of John sitting under the president's desk in the Oval Office? Beautiful.
I do. Before I was born, but I've seen the picture.
Yep, I'm with you. Same thing. All right. Anything else, Joe?
I just wanted to add that I believe one of the other, I think it may be Mark actually mentioned it earlier about the kind of damage that's being done in regards to the oil spill. And I just find that all these people this evening are talking about what Rush Limbaugh said and about bringing the what the family had said and whatnot, and nobody seems to be addressing. All the energy is being spent on that, and not as much energy is right now being spent on the actual issue of the oil spill, and they're just allowing themselves to be distracted.
All right.
It's a fair point, Joe. I'll tell you this. I myself get some mixture of depressed and angry every time I see that pipe with all that oil spewing out. I guess it's like almost a death in the family. I range between just being livid with anger and just being so depressed for the destruction of a way of life down there. I have a friend down there who's watching the oil spill, waiting and just waiting for it to destroy his coast. And, I mean, he sounded worse than a death in the family. It is a colossal, awful thing, and the worst of it all, it was completely preventable. British Petroleum knew all about the damage blowout preventer. They knew the battery was dead. They knew they'd done it wrong. If anyone hasn't seen the 60 Minutes episode on this, you really need to see it. You can find it online. Watch what happened for yourself. It will disgust you, but as an American, you got to know. Well, as a Canadian, too, you really need to watch it and find out what happened.
Awesome.
Right, Joe, thank you.
Thank you, Joe. I appreciate the call. Have a wonderful Memorial Day weekend. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back to you, our calls. And if you're holding, hang tight. Coming right to you. 888-6-LESLIE. Mark Levine is my guest in this hour. Happy Friday, America. We'll be back right after this. I'm Leslie Marshall. We're back. Leslie Marshall here. Welcome or welcome back. My buddy Mark Levine in the house, host of the DC Radio Talk Show, The Inside Scoop, serving up all the news the government doesn't want you to know. By the way, you can check out his daily podcast at RadioInsideScoop.com. Do check it out. Mark Levine, my guest and my friend. Mark, thanks for holding. Welcome back. Let's take some more calls, and we go to, is it Chiru in Castle Rock?
Yes, sure, in Castle Rock. I just wanted to say, I think it was good to hear Malia's take on it and to see the next generation informed. And I know people are giving Barack a very hard time. I'm not a Barack supporter, but I think when it comes to the next generation and them being aware of what's going on, other than MTV and whatever else they're watching, it's always a welcome idea. And I think it was fine that he shared it. It makes him human. It makes him a real dad. And I don't know why people are just taking it out of context or attacking him for it. I don't understand it.
I believed it. I thought he was being genuine, and I thought he was sort of like, this wasn't just about him and it wasn't just about now. This was about her. This was about her after he's gone. You know?
Exactly. And I'm a parent. And I see it that way. My kid, I have a seven-year-old who asks some very tough questions sometimes, but I think
By the way, Chira, do you tell them none of your business like Rush Limbaugh?
I try not to do that. I do give accurate answers when I can and when I know them, and if I don't, I just say, I really don't know. Let's Google it or something. Yeah. But, I don't understand it. I don't understand why people are giving him a hard time about it.
Mark, what do you think?
I was going to say, to me, the whole comment shows how this thing is just buried into our psyche, that any American who has any heart at all is watching this with dread. And the point is, it's not just, you know, those of us who follow politics for a living or those of us in Washington, but a little girl, it doesn't matter where you live, if you're not feeling just dread at this continued spewing, then I just think you have no heart. And the point is he was showing that every American, large and small, young and old, is concerned about this. That's all it said to me, and I thought it was very poignant.
I agree. Anything else, Chira?
No, that was it.
All right, thank you very much, and thank you for joining us tonight. Have a great weekend. Let's go to Stuart in Fort Lauderdale. Hi, Stuart. How are you doing?
Good evening. You know, I wonder, do people sit around their table at night during dinner and talk, or do they just keep it quiet? You know, and if they do talk at the dinner table, when you go to work next day, don't you share it with people what you talk about?
Absolutely.
It's the same thing. I mean, people are, you know, whether it's that President Obama has a target on his back and there's people that no matter what he does is going to find fault with it. But a question's a question. Their kids ask them questions that, you know, a child's perspective on things, you know, it's like, wow, you know, that's pretty cool. The kid's interested in it. The child's father is the President of the United States. Don't you think she's going to be a little more inquisitive because he's a lot more involved in things these days than he was, you know, when she was a lot younger?
By the way, and all of us adults and not Malia's age group, Malia's age group is a very different, you know, that age is very different than when Stuart, you, Mark, you, and when I, Leslie, was that age, okay? We didn't have Google, we didn't have iPhones and iPads and, you know, the super, you know, internet, you know, plethora of information at our fingertips. Kids today are smarter in many ways. They're more tuned in. When I was her age, I wouldn't have known about an oil spill, but I've got to tell you, kids her age
kids are
going to relate to this. There were kids her age out there that were watching the president yesterday. And when I was a kid, I would do anything but watch the president. It was a yawner to me at that age.
Of course, but we're in the day and age now that kids are more savvy and they're made more aware of things. They have everything at the tips of their fingers. And television is a lot more advanced than it was when we were kids. And face it, she's not sitting in the back of a limousine flipping off photographers.
It also
when
shows.
It's been done in the past by presidential children. At least she's doing something that has to do with what's going on today.
Yeah.
I agree with you. It also shows just how President Obama has to be concerned. In other words, this is an issue.
Wait, Mark, that's excellent. Mark, that is such an excellent point. What does he say? You know, what is he saying without saying it? You know, this isn't about me letting down. I can't let my daughter down,
right?
And my daughter's not going to let me forget. So you've got my word, America. I'm on this because my daughter's reminding me of it.
Everyone is concerned. That's how important it is. That's what he's saying.
Exactly.
Yes, I'm not going to let my daughter down. I'm not going to let you down. Yeah. I thought it was very powerful.
There's
absolutely
nothing wrong with involving his children in it.
We all do, for crying out loud. You know, they say the two things you can be guaranteed to win with in advertising are kids and animals.
Well,
because
like you were saying about one of your other posts saying that it seems like it was set up and, you know, that it was staged, that he made his child ask the question. Kids are smart these days. They will ask questions that you would not expect of a kid. And that's why it catches people so off guard. They forget that in this day and age, that kids are more apt to ask questions that we never would have.
because,
and you know what? You know what? A guy just tweeted me and said, no one asked him what his daughter said. This is a guy who gets crap for reading a teleprompter. So then when he goes off script and tells something real life, they still give him crap about it.
Exactly. Like I said, there's going to be people out there that no matter what he does, will find fault with everything.
Absolutely.
Leslie,
absolutely.
When my nephew was 4 years old, he asked his mother if God was dead. And she said, what are you talking about? Why do you ask? And he said, well, you said that when Grandma died, she went to heaven, right? And she said, right. And you said that God's in heaven, right? She said, right. So is God dead? And that really flummoxed my sister. He was 4 years old at the time. So
too bad that Linkletter isn't with us anymore.
You know, and how many of us have used an example or heard an example way before the president was president out of the mouth of babes? Malia's
exactly.
words and what he was doing were showing an example out of the mouth, you know, of babes. I'm going to tell you a very true story. My great-grandfather, never knew who his real parents were. I have a lot of that in my family. He was raised by an aunt who was abusive. And get this, no joke, at 6 years of age, ran away from home, went down to the train yard, hung around with the, quote, hobos, mm-hmm. jumped on a train, and ended up in Fall River, Massachusetts.
Huh.
There were no child labor laws then, and in Fall River, Massachusetts, he got a job at a textile mill, and the owner of the mill had like 5-6 daughters and really took a liking to my great-grandfather and took him under his wing and made him sort of an apprentice. When my great-grandfather was 15 years of age, he was standing alongside his boss, who he was sort of like an apprentice to, and there were a bunch of men, and they had a big piece of equipment, and they needed to put it from one building to the other. And all these guys were talking, and they had their plans and their blueprints and their rulers. And, you know, this is in the early 1800s, okay? And he's standing there chuckling. And the, you know, the boss said, what are you chuckling about? His nickname was Buck. What are you chuckling about, Buck? And he said, well, why don't you just, you know, cut a hole in both walls and push it through? Well, they all looked at him. They did that. And because he did so well, when he was 19 years old and that man died, he left the company to my great-grandfather, who became a millionaire.
Hmm.
He spent all the money and gambled all the money, and that's a whole other story. But the point being, out of the mouth of babes. Now, he might have been 15, but still a kid, and it was just one of those common sense comments where people go, ding, 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 light bulb. And I think that Malia helped to brighten the light bulb of the matter and shine a whole different situation on it for the president, which is the future, and I can't let her down.
Exactly.
All right, Stuart, thank you for calling, buddy.
Have a great evening.
You too, and have a great weekend. Mark, I love you. Stayed with me for 2 hours tonight. You're so wonderful. Thank you.
I love you, Leslie. And to your audience, I'll be there Thursday and Friday next week hosting and possibly Wednesday too. We'll see.
Okay, awesome. Thank you, buddy. I appreciate you doing that. Mark Levine makes it possible for me to have a vacation day now and then. Thank you, buddy. I'm Leslie Marshall. We'll be back for hour 3 straight ahead. Our number, 888-6-LESLIE.